Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. From Hamas to America by James Beckett is a memoir of rupture and reinvention, tracing a life shaped by extremist influence, coercion, and the slow, painful work of reclaiming moral agency. Positioned at the intersection of political violence and personal accountability, the book follows a narrator who describes being drawn into a world where loyalty, fear, and ideology rewrite everyday choices. The story then pivots toward escape and rebuilding, as the author frames the United States as both a refuge and a proving ground. A place where freedom is real but must be earned through discipline, truth-telling, and responsibility. Rather than presenting a simple thriller of flight, the narrative emphasizes consequences, the psychological residue of terror, the complexity of leaving behind a tight-knit system of control, and the practical barriers that confront anyone seeking a legitimate new start. In doing so, Beckett aims to explore how redemption is pursued not as a single moment, but as a long sequence of decisions in ordinary life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, radicalization as a social system. Not a single choice. A central topic is how extremist involvement develops through environment, incentives, and pressure, rather than a sudden conversion. The memoir frames radicalization as a social system that can capture a person through family ties, community expectations, and survival logic. The author highlights the way fear and belonging can become entangled, so the participation feels less like ideological enthusiasm and more like the only viable option. The book also shows how narratives of grievance can narrow a person's perceived choices, making violence appear normal or even necessary inside a closed moral universe. This topic matters because it pushes readers to consider the mechanics of recruitment and retention, who provides protection, who grants status, who controls information, and what punishments exist for dissent. By treating radicalization as a process, the story encourages a more realistic view of exit barriers. Leaving is not simply deciding to stop believing, it involves severing relationships, challenging identity, and confronting retaliation. The memoir uses personal experience to make these dynamics legible, while also implying broader lessons about how communities can reduce vulnerability to extremist capture through support, education, and alternatives that restore agency before violence becomes routine. Secondly, living under terror, trauma, control, and moral injury, another important theme is the internal cost of life in proximity to terror. The book describes a world where threat is constant, secrecy is protective, and trust is scarce. In that environment, people learn to compartmentalize, to say one thing and feel another, and to accept harsh actions as ordinary. The memoir presents this as more than fear, it is a form of moral injury. The damage that occurs when someone participates in, witnesses, or cannot prevent acts that violate their conscience. The author explores how control is maintained through surveillance, loyalty tests, and the normalization of brutality. Readers see how these conditions distort relationships and self-perception, producing numbness, hypervigilance, and a reduced ability to imagine peaceful futures. This topic also underscores why rehabilitation is difficult. Even after escaping, the mind may remain trained for danger, and guilt or shame can keep a person trapped in silence. By foregrounding trauma and moral injury, the memoir invites empathy without excusing harm. It suggests that any real redemption must include psychological reckoning, recognition of victims, and an honest account of what terror does to both targets and participants. The narrative frames healing as a disciplined practice rather than a comforting slogan. Thirdly, defection and escape, the high stakes of choosing another life. The memoir devotes significant attention to the decision to break away and the cascading risks that follow. Defection is portrayed as an escalating sequence of compromises and tactical moves, finding safe contacts, managing suspicion, and navigating the reality that one mistake can be fatal. This topic emphasizes that leaving an extremist network is not just a geographic relocation, it is a dangerous shift in allegiance that can trigger pursuit, revenge, or collective punishment. The author depicts the psychological toll of planning an exit while still embedded in a world that demands conformity. Readers also encounter the practical challenges of getting out with limited resources, uncertain documentation, and few trustworthy allies. Alongside suspense, the book highlights the moral dimension of escape, what a person owes to those they leave behind, how to weigh self-preservation against responsibility, and how to confront the fact that exit may come too late to undo earlier participation. The narrative frames escape as a turning point, but not a clean break. The past travels with the defector, shaping how they are seen and how they see themselves. This topic helps readers understand why successful exits often require external support systems, credible pathways to safety, and patient reintegration that discourages relapse into violence or criminality. Fourthly, America as refuge and test assimilation, work and identity rebuilding. A major topic in the second half is what happens after arrival in the United States. The book depicts America as a land of opportunity, but also as a demanding environment where freedom comes with expectations. The author focuses on rebuilding identity through everyday disciplines: legal compliance, steady work, education, and learning social norms that differ sharply from life under coercive rule. This topic explores the tension between gratitude and alienation. A newcomer may admire open debate and personal choice while struggling with cultural distance, suspicion from others, or the loneliness of starting over without a familiar network. The memoir suggests that assimilation is not erasing the past, it is integrating experience into a new ethical framework and choosing a constructive role in society. It also shows how opportunity can be fragile for someone with a complicated history, where trust must be earned and mistakes carry amplified consequences. Readers are invited to see reinvention as both practical and moral building, a stable life, contributing rather than extracting, and becoming accountable in a community that expects transparency. The American dream is presented as reachable, but only through persistent effort and a willingness to confront personal history rather than hide behind it. Lastly, redemption through accountability. From survival to service, the book's most resonant topic is redemption, defined less as self-forgiveness and more as accountability in action. The memoir frames redemption as a long-term project, acknowledging wrongdoing, refusing rationalizations, and choosing behaviors that repair rather than harm. This topic includes the challenge of speaking openly about a past tied to terror while avoiding sensationalism and self-exoneration. The author emphasizes that redemption requires consistency, not a single dramatic confession. It also involves learning to live with consequences, including social stigma and the reality that some trust may never be fully restored. The narrative suggests that meaningful change is demonstrated through choices that protect others, promote lawful life, and discourage extremism. The story points toward the value of testimony, using personal history to illuminate how radicalization works and why exit is possible, without presenting the author as a flawless hero. Readers are encouraged to consider redemption as a framework anyone can apply, taking responsibility, building ethical habits, and seeking constructive community ties. In positioning America as a place where a person can start again, the memoir argues that the true proof of transformation is measurable, stable relationships, honest work, and a commitment to prevent the same harm from repeating in new forms. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in personal narratives about extremism, de-radicalization, or immigration, and the moral complexity of rebuilding a life after involvement with violence. It will also appeal to those who read memoirs for lessons about resilience, identity, and the disciplined work of change. The primary benefit is perspective. By following an arc from coercive ideology to reinvention in the United States, readers can better understand how radicalization can take hold, why leaving can be so dangerous, and what rehabilitation actually demands in daily life. That understanding can sharpen critical thinking about propaganda, strengthen empathy without naivety, and reinforce the value of civic norms like rule of law and open dialogue. Compared with similar books that focus mainly on geopolitical analysis or sensational escape narratives, this memoir aims to connect the big forces of terror with intimate consequences: trauma, guilt, trust, and the slow reassembly of character. Its emphasis on accountability and practical rebuilding makes it more than a story of survival. It is positioned as a case study in transformation, showing that opportunity matters, but integrity and consistent choices are what turn opportunity into a redeemed life worth living. If you would like to support James Beckett, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.